the committee recommended that the secretary develop the feasibility study looking at the funding model for the community to be formed by the end of financial year. Since this is still work in progress, the committee should probe as it will have consequences for the vice president and ultimately for the review of the South African Police Service Act, particularly with the funding model. And then when it comes to the funding model, there was a recommendation that the secretary consider the funding model of additional mandates such as the funding of the PCR judge and other projects delegated by the minister, which is a big issue because it's unfunded. The other one, I think, was the DNA board. The funding model to be discussed as national strategy now appears as declined funded additional mandates. So something is going to be difficult to keep an eye on. And then the last one, the HND, the committee recommends the Audit Committee to report before the report on internal financial control as well as the implementation of the AG recommendations. Chief Audit Committee presented to the Dark Report.
Thank you. There's just one issue. There was one document that wasn't submitted to the Dark Report.
That's not for this one, Chief.
Thank you for that presentation. Yes.
No,
just a view from my side that and also a warning to the committee and also to civilian secretariat and also the uniform members that if you take recommendation number 13 that talks to demilitarization of police, I will raise this, Chairperson, because it has been a worrying trend that I've been observing very quietly, particularly abuse of men and women in blue in the National Assembly. Because this thing of using security forces against certain party members will escalate to the community, as we have seen even in the areas of Cleveland in KZN. We know what happened even under apartheid, when the Nationalist Party orientated security forces to act against certain members of the liberation movement, that many people had to lose their lives. So it will be very much prudent, and I think our national leadership, particularly the ZFF, has actually taken this matter up with the IP, which I think they will appraise us during their term of presentation. Related to the abuse of security forces in the National Assembly, particularly from the police, who are poached for a particular short term at the end of the day, then committing heinous crimes against certain party members. And I think that thing needs to be stopped by this committee. Thank you.
Yeah, Honourable Member, you're welcome to make your point, but just remember that that matter of the National Assembly was referred to the Rules Committee to look at. So it's at this stage, but I mean, you're welcome to put your point of view.
No, thanks, Jefferson. I'm raising it, Chairperson, as a member of this committee because it will be very wrong for this committee to remain quiet when actually police are actually used against civilians. And I think it is prudent for this committee to actually then step its authority so that even the National Assembly will take cognizance that we are actually doing our job of an oversight, of exercising oversight role when security forces are abused for narrow political ends. I think that is why then I am actually then raising this particular point, because it's wrong. Thank you.
Yes, Honourable Ramatlakane.
Chair, there is, I thought we were going to deal with this differently. Now, Honourable Mhlongo raises his opinion and wants to make his opinion the fact. Now, I have a problem with that because that's an only opinion. And so it needs to be tested. And there is a different process, as is explained yesterday. And I know he was not in the house. There's a different process in investigating those allegations. So I think my view is that we should really put that opinion aside and deal with the matter here, because that issue will have to be conclusively determined it's not a fact that security forces have been abused. I mean, it's an opinion that cannot be made a fact here and argued as a fact. So my appeal to you is that perhaps if we want to have that discussion, let's have that discussion, arrange for it. Let's come here with facts and say this is instances where we're talking about National Assembly and abuse. And I don't believe that those civilians has ability to abuse the armed forces. But I think it's a far-fetched, it's a view, it's an opinion. I would appeal that rather let's focus on the main agenda that we have and suspend that kind of focused discussion.
Yeah, I see two hands. Let me make a ruling now because I'm just worried about the time. No. I want to make a ruling. No, I'm going to make a ruling. Now, remember next week, honourable members, we're going to have the top management of SAPS here with regard to three issues. It's now four. Remember, I don't think the other members were here, apart from the issues with regard to the back to basics, but also in terms of dealing with the festival period, the crime stats, the two terms, but also we're going to call the station commander for Settenville and the cluster commander and the provincial commissioner of Gauteng with regard to the issues that happened there the last 2 weeks. That, I think, would be a good opportunity to raise those issues of public concern that you've raised now with them. So I think let's maybe park that issue, and I'll allow enough time next week for the committee to deal with it. Otherwise, we've got three topics today. Is that fine?
No, Chairperson, with your respect, Chairperson, I think you are 100% correct. However, Chairperson, I wanted to correct the honourable member, Honourable Ramasakane, that no, it's not a view. You know, as a responsible member of this committee, I had to ensure that we discharge our responsibility of gathering information right on spot. We've got evidence and photos here.
Point of order.
So it's not an opinion, this thing. Otherwise, we are going to run away from responsibility only to find that police are actually then involving themselves in serious acts of criminality. It's totally...
No, please, this point of order. The chair, thanks.
Chairperson, I should think we are not going to allow this. We've got matters to deal with here. And if somebody wants a platform to say whatever he says, this is not the right platform. You can have a media statement somewhere else. And if we allow this, then anybody can take whatever platform to say whatever they want. So I should think you must be hard on this one. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Groenewald, you're the last, then we're going to move on.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, now I accept your ruling, but I also want to add then for next week. Unfortunately, the first meeting we had, I could not attend, and a very serious allegation was made by the Minister, namely that the police force has been controlled from foreign forces or something like that. I want to ask that we have a serious discussion on that, that we have to need an explanation. To make such a general statement and say that to the police committee cannot just be accepted as that. That must be come on an agenda and have a thorough discussion on specific that matter. Thank you, Chair.
Those 2 points will take the next week. Let's get the Secretary of Police. Thank you. You can continue.
Thank you, honourable members, Chairperson. The presentation that was made actually has put me off balance because it has dealt with all the issues that if I have to go through the presentation that I have given, I will be repeating what has already been presented. So I will just go to the some areas where they say highlight in terms of areas that we haven't addressed, but then there will be a detailed presentation on the budget. That's the detail that we will give if that is correct. But the presentation that was made by the secretary, it covers our presentation. So can I get that I just highlight those areas?
I think go through the presentation because
okay.
There are a lot of responses we still need clarity on. So let's
okay.
go through it. I will indicate if it's a repeat, but I think it's important that we ensure that we get a full briefing on all the salient issues that's outstanding. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. As an introduction, we had to remind ourselves where this presentation come from. Section 5.2 of the Money Bills Procedure and Related Matters Amendment Act provides for the Portfolio Committee to compile a budgetary review and recommendation report, which must be tabled to the National Assembly. And Section 5.3 provides for the budget review and recommendation report that contains the assessment of the department's service delivery performance, given the available resources, an assessment of the effectiveness and efficiency of the department's use and forward allocation of available resources, and the recommendation on the forward use of the resources. Based on that, the Civilian Secretariat briefed the Portfolio Committee on its 2015-16 financial year annual report on the 13th of October, and then the Portfolio Committee released its final budget review and recommendation report on the 21st of October 2016. So the purpose of our presentation is to brief the Portfolio Committee on, firstly, progress regarding the reporting requests, and secondly, the response to the Portfolio Committee recommendations. On the reporting requests, regarding the action plans to address the findings made by AXA on material misstatements, including action steps, timeframes and targets, regarding the monthly progress reports on action taken as per the action plan together with the financial targets achieved, and the action plan to address the implementation of the internal financial controls for to substantiate the commitments, accruals and employee benefits, and the fourth one being action plans to timely and adequately review financial statements and compare them with the document. All those areas have been put in the strategy to address the AXA findings, which was developed and presented to the committee on the 9th of November. We have as end of 31st December 2016. Spend 63% of our budget, which is low. And when we deal with the financial performance, we'll give you details in terms of where the challenges are. Mainly, it is on the issue of personnel expenditure. That's an area wherein we are not funding because our vacant posts were approved in the third quarter, and now the vacancy rate has actually increased to 24%. So in terms of the expenditure, that is one of the issues, but the details in terms of that will be presented later on in the presentation when we deal with the issue of the finances. Then on the issue of the appointment of skilled staff, the critical skills, we have filled in all the the SMS post, I've got a full, there's only one vacant position for the chief directors, that is the intersectoral coordination and strategic partnership, a position that is, has been advertised, and it's, the interviews will happen before the end of this month. So at positions which are below me, we only have vacancy. We have filled in all the other senior management posts. The IT director was appointed. We also appointed a director, information and knowledge management. The vacant post that we couldn't fill, but we went through the interviews. We made an offer for the director of research, but the department where that person was coming from counter offered and gave the person the top, the last notch of the level. So we couldn't get that. So we're in a process of headhunting to make sure that the research director is filled. But we also filled a number of deputy director posts which are critical. Also in the research area, we have a deputy director which we have filled. We also have appointed to strengthen the strategic management area. There's an administrator that has been appointed. But what we are going to do to deal with the strategic management is that the office of the secretary is being reorganized. The office manager is asked to be moved to another unit, which leaves the vacancy in that position. So whoever we're going to appoint will be somebody who will even be there to assist with strategic management and actually monitoring and evaluation of our performance as the department. So that capacity will be there, not only having somebody who is just dealing with the office management position, but also will be supporting the director strategic planning. Regarding the improvement, that's number six, improving the level of assurance by accounting officer of the secretariat, especially the internal audit function. A strategy with action plans to address the AXA findings was developed through the internal audit unit, and this is the strategy that was presented there. So the internal audit is the one that is coordinating the implementation of the AXA report. That's why even today when I'm here to account on the B3 group, the head of internal audit is here to actually deal with that. And by the monthly meetings that the team has, it's actually making sure that there's progress in the implementation of the AXA findings. But it also includes the findings of the internal audit. So we are not only confining it to the AXA findings. And I will just give a high level at the end of the presentation in terms of how far we are in the implementation of those AXA findings. Regarding the development of an action plan on the skills and training of senior management team, we have a report that we attached to the presentation. We have a departmental workplace skills plan which is being implemented, and our senior management team has attended the executive development plan. The executive development program, which is offered by the National School of Government, and there's another group which is going to be attending in this last quarter. I will move to point number 11. Provide a new program for the tabling of legislation in the new year with a quarterly update. We submitted the program in terms of the legislation, but the president is introducing a new monitoring tool, which when you submit that program, they go, they evaluate it to say how far you are and so on. And if they realize that you are overstating your proposal in terms of that program, they send it back. So for this financial year, the only legislation, the bill that we believe will be able to submit to Parliament, it's going to be the Critical Infrastructure Protection Bill. The Cabinet Committee, which is meeting on the 23rd, which is going to look into the revised bill. It has gone through. There's been engagement with NEDLAC, although that process is not finalized, but it's a preliminary report that we can say this is where the agreements are and where we disagree. Because NEDLAC indicated that the process can run parallel as we are processing this thing through Cabinet, that engagement must take place. But that process of engaging NEDLAC started way back in June, July, and the intention was that by February we will be done with the consultation at NEDLAC, but we haven't concluded that. But we have made revisions, and the inputs that have been put there have been incorporated in the proposed bill that is coming to the Cabinet. The Firearms Controls Act, we have reported previously that there is a research that was conducted as a result of the request from the Portfolio Committee when we had a workshop 2 years ago. And all those issues that were raised in that meeting were researched, and that research report was presented to the minister who approved it, and now we are busy finalizing the amendment of the Firearms Controls Bill. The issue is what is coming out from the research proposes a totally different bill from the one that was published in April 2015 for public comments, which means that Cabinet will have to decide whether we take it back for publication again for public comments, or we can put it through and comments can come with the parliamentary process. But that's the issue that Cabinet will advise on. We're putting that as an option. But we have incorporated a number of things that came out of the research, which included international benchmarking. But the bill itself won't be able to be finalized before the end of this financial year. So the issue of the SAPS amendment bill, the IPED amendment bill, the Terrorism Act, and the animal movement, those legislations will come in the next financial year. There was also a request that we should provide a progress report on the functioning of the DNA Forensic Ethics and Accountability Board, and we are going to, when we present our third quarter report, we will include a section that will deal with the DNA board. And I must indicate, in the positions that have been approved by the minister, it includes three positions that will be for the board. It includes the position of director who will serve as the secretary to the board. It includes an investigator and an administrator. We've already advertised the position of the director. Applications closed. It must be last week that the application closed, and we are busy with the process of shortlisting. So there is progress on that, and we also agreed that we will have close working relationship, because we also have realized that the DNA board is very key in terms of civilian oversight, monitoring, and evaluation in terms of what the police are doing. So it's an institution that we need to make sure that it's strengthened to make sure that the police effectively do their work. On the committee recommendations, recommendation one, it's saying the civilian secretariat should consider the specifics of the corrective measures on the ACSA recommendation, and I've already indicated that that was done and presented to the committee. The revision of the secretariat performance and financial targets to keep in line with the SMART principles, we have done that. When we present our annual performance plan for 2017-18, the members of parliament will see that it's dealing with the issues of SMART. We just finalized on Friday, and we are sending it to the Auditor General also to look into it before we send it to the Minister to make sure that the SMART principles have been incorporated. The appointments, it says one of the recommendations is that the civilian secretariat appoints a mandate holder with the authority to implement ACSA recommendation within a stipulated time. The authority to implement the ACSA recommendation rests with the line function. So what we did is each one of the line managers signed and committed that they are going to implement the areas that pertains to their own responsibility. They've signed that commitment, and the director internal audit is coordinating the implementation of those findings and the recommendations. Regarding the turnaround strategy, we are still in the process of developing the turnaround strategy. And at the time when this request was made, my contract was at its end. Coming out with a turnaround strategy when you will leave and then it will be changed didn't make that much sense. So now that I've been confirmed as the secretary, we have started the task team that I have established. Firstly, the first one was to deal with the issues of capacity. Do we have the capacity to implement our mandate? And an assessment has already been done. A presentation was made to EXCO. There's a task team that we have established, which is going to be looking into the organizational structure. There's also a task team which will look into the organizational structure, will specifically, as the first step, deal with the issue of our partnership units. Because as EXCO, our assessment has been that we are not properly organized to service the whole country, and that task team is going to come out with the recommendation. They need to be reorganization. So these are the first steps that are there, and we can share this with the committee in details if that's required. But we haven't put it in one turnaround strategy, as I indicated, the challenges at the time. But now we're going to compile it into a turnaround strategy. The expenditure management framework, one of the key issues on the expenditure management framework is the implementation of the LOGIS. We haven't fully implemented the expenditure management framework because of the issue of segregation of duties, but we have advertised the posts and the shortlisting is finalized, so the positions will be filled by the end of February, and that is the piece of puzzle that actually will bring in the issue of the expenditure management framework. And we also, in the positions that have been advertised, nine of those positions are from finance to fill in, to build the capacity in there, and it will actually assist in strengthening the unit. But also at the same time, the audit committee has recommended quite strongly that before we finalize our annual financial statements, we will need to give it to an external person to actually look into that. And we are in a process of finding that support for an external person who can look into our finances before we they want that to be done before it comes to the audit committee. So those are the things that we're doing to address that. Regarding the establishment of the project management office, what we have introduced at this moment is the quarterly procurement plans, because if you have quarterly procurement plans, you also it forces you actually to look into your projects and make sure that they are implemented. But we will look into the issue of the project management office when we finalize the organizational structure. And I want to indicate that the white paper on policing, it actually calls for the civilian secretariat for police to become the Department of Police, which means that the Ministry of Police, the Office of the Minister, becomes part of the civilian secretariat. And they have a program management office that has been established. Part of looking into the structure will also include how we can bring that program management office into the secretariat. So all that will be addressed in the revised organizational structure that we are working on. Number 10, we've already addressed it. The secretary was appointed. Number 11 deals with the issue of cost incurred on behalf of IP. We're doing everything we can to try to address this matter. Discussion with National Treasury to see if they can consider, because we are we are not a vote per se, but we get our money from a vote. And we're saying that maybe they will need to consider that we can use, taking into consideration the expenditure on the personal, our expenditure on compensation of employees, we could use that amount to actually pay this debt. So the discussion is still happening. We are still also engaging the minister to see how we can deal with that matter. If we end up paying it from our funds, it means that this will be an authorized expenditure which lead to automatic qualification. And if SCOPA doesn't condone that, it means that it will come out of our budget for the next financial year. But we want to make sure that this matter is resolved and finalized financial year, because if we don't resolve it, it will keep on coming as a matter which will qualify us, and we will never meet our target of having clean audit. All the tenders, we have made that instruction, and all future tenders will appear in the website. But it will be the tenders that we are looking for, 500,000 and above, because the rest of them, we do them on a quotation basis using the central database. Regarding the research on the demilitarization and professionalization of SAPS, we have finalized the research on the demilitarization, but the focus was on POP, the public order policing and the tactical response team. But in the next financial year, we will now focus on VISPOL and crime prevention. And this work or this project is going to be done in partnership with the provincial secretariats. Regarding our own budget, to set an example, to conduct budget performance analysis, we are strengthening our finance unit, but at the same time also we are, as part of reviewing the organizational structure, we are also going to look in terms of the financial analysts in the civilian oversight monitoring and evaluation unit, so that we have people who have got skills, financial skills in our M&E, and they can actually even do the same analysis for our own budget to make sure that we are strengthened. So we are looking into that matter, and we feel it's key if we want to see a turnaround of the management of our finances. Number 15, I've already addressed that. Number 16, which we have already presented. 17, we've already dealt with that, and I've also indicated that we had an additional of 36 posts, which resulted in the vacancy rate going to 24%. But what we are doing is I have even approved overtime upfront, so that the capturing of the people who have applied is done quickly, and we make sure that all these posts are filled by the end of this financial year, and probably some of the people will start in the new financial year, but all the recruitment process, we want to finish it this financial year. The research reports, we already submitted them on the 7th of February. And in terms of the vetting process, all senior managers appointed before October 2016 have been vetted. But it takes time for the new. What they do is they have a preliminary vetting that they do before you appoint. That was done for those who were appointed after October. The preliminary vetting was done, but now, because especially the chief directors, they need the top secret vetting, and that process takes longer. but they have already completed all the required forms. We're just waiting for the process of the state security agency. We have requested the state security agency to assist us with the vetting of the rest of the staff, and it will depend on their capacity that we are engaging them to make sure that that is done. Maybe when we do our quarterly reports, we will brief the portfolio committee in terms of the process, the progress on the vetting process. The feasibility study or the funding model for the community policing forum, the funding model, what we are looking into is that we are revisiting the policy, the CPF policy. This work has started. There's been engagement with SAPS. There's been engagement with the chairpersons of provincial CPFs, CPF boards. SAPS has requested that we make further consultation with four provinces on the policy. And once that policy is finalized, then we will address the issue of the funding model. Different provinces have got different funding models that they have shared with us, and we will look into that funding model to come out with a funding model which will be for the whole country. Regarding the funding model for additional mandates such as the DPCI and other projects related to the minister, we are engaging National Treasury in terms of the additional mandates that we have. And as we all know, when you approach Treasury, they will say, talk to the cluster, who should we take the money from to give to you? So that engagement is happening, but they don't see any possibility for additional money which will come outside the cluster. And that's the challenge that we have to deal with. We had engagement with the DPCI judge. I met with him last week to deal with the additional request that he needs, because with the budget that it's allocated, we can actually move some funding and make sure that he gets additional resources that the office requires. So he has allocated a person from his office who will work with the task team that I've established, which is looking into the organizational structure. And based on that, we will have a final decision in terms of capacity building in that area. And the last issue, the audit committee appeared before the portfolio committee on the 9th of November. Just to go on the last part is the status of the implementation of the management action plan. Regarding the ASA finding on the matters relating to the auditor the report, which was the basis for qualification, we had two findings, and two of those findings have been implemented. And the internal audit has started to audit this process, and they are also working with our internal. We have a unit which is called the Anti-Corruption and Fraud Unit, which that name is going to be changed to Integrity and Governance Unit. So they work together with internal audit. So internal audit will be auditing all these reports that we have, and then there will be a confirmation of this, which when we report on our the third quarter report, we will give you the results of the internal audit finding on the report that we got. On the matters relating to auditor's report, the emphasis of matter, we have implemented two. There is four which is in progress, and two haven't been implemented. On matters related to management report and findings, we've already implemented 15 out of the 32 findings, and in progress we've got 10, and there's 7 that is still outstanding. All in all, out of the 42 findings, we have implemented 19, 14 are still in progress, and there's 9 that is outstanding. The picture that you have, the pie chart, reflects the numbers that I've already given, with 45 implemented, which is in green, and 33 in yellow. And the 33 is something that we say by the end of this financial year, this will be done and dusted. So the red is one which we say we might not finish the implementation of the red by the end of the financial year. That's why it's we are in danger on that one. But that number could reduce. My CFO is here, so he's going to deal with the budget expenditure report, and the report that we are presenting will be as at 31st December 2016. But I'm sure he will be able to answer questions regarding the recent figures. Can I hand over to the CFO, Chair?
Thank you, Mr. Appeal. CFO, you can continue. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. Good morning, colleagues. I'll just present the status of the department as at the end of December. The last line will show that we had a budget of about 110,592 million, of which we've already spent 69.6 million of that, which actually translates into 63%. So that is as at the end of December. But maybe I may share with the House that as at the end of January, as the department, we had already spent about 70% of the budget. And you'll also note that our projections in terms of how far will you go as the department, as the Secretary has indicated, that with the issue of and us not being able to fill all the vacancies on time, our projection was that as at the end of the financial year, as the department, would have spent about 88.6%. That was the view as at end of December. But with the recent view, looking into the January expenditure, we've actually revised that figure from 88% to about 86%, which in essence means that as the department, we might have an underspending of about 15 million. And of that 15 million, the 12 million will relate to compensation of employees, and the 3 million will actually be some funds that we're trying to intensify the cost curtailment, with the view that we might have some money that we save there in order for us to be able to pay the iPad money. And is the 12 million of which we had actually applied, engaged even Treasury to say to what extent can they actually allow us to use that money in making sure that we can use it to pay the iPad, as you know that the compensation of employees is reinforced in all the departments. But we have actually requested them to see if maybe we can have the environment for them to allow us to move that money. The next slide, slide 23, it will talk to economic classifications. indicated, when you look at the current payment, which talks to compensation of employees and goods and services, as the department, for compensation of employees, we had a budget of about 79.4 million, of which we are saying that we spent, at the end of December, we have spent 48.6 million, and that translates into 61.2%. But as at the end of January, our expenditure is now standing at about 54.5 million, which actually translates into a percentage of 69%. So that is in terms. The goods and services, as at the end of December, we had spent about 19.8 million from a budget of 29.3, which actually translates into 67.9%. And as at the end of December, as at the end of January, the expenditure for goods and services was standing at about 71%. But as we have, as I've said, that we've tried to intensify the cost curtailment in order to make sure that, with the hope that we might make some savings to make sure that we pay the IPED debt. But and in terms of capital assets, our expenditure at the end of December, it was 794 from the 1.5 million, which means that there was a saving of about, there was a underspending of about 737,000. When it comes to this, we also foresee an extent that we might also somehow underspend on this one, maybe by about 400,000 to 300,000, due to the fact that some of this money was actually allocated for the new staff that we are hoping to employ. But with us not being able to have employed everybody by the end of the financial year, it seems that there will be some savings on that thing. But as you may know, that money is also ring-fenced, so it means that even if you don't spend it, there's no way that we could use it for any other function. Slide 24 is just giving us the details of compensation of employees as at the end of December. We are saying that within the administration program, we had a budget of about 33 million, of which we are saying that 21 million by the end of December had been spent, which actually translated into 63.4%. When it comes to intersectoral coordination and strategic partnerships, there we had a budget for COE of about 15.4 million, of which we are saying that 9.9 million we had already spent by the end of December, which actually translates to 64.3%. And when it comes to legislation and policy development, which actually is a program that includes the DPCI judge budget, as at the end of December, we had spent about 9.3 million out of the 16.3 million, which actually translates into a 57.4%. Civilian oversight, monitoring and evaluation, we have a budget of about 14.3 million, of which at the end of December we had spent 8.1 million, which translates into 56.5%. So in total, we are saying as a department, as at the end of December, we have spent about 48.6 million, which translates into 61.2%, which I've just elaborated to say that now, as at the end of January, we had spent about 68% of that money. The next slide is just showing the trends of how, as the department, we have been spending in consideration of the cash flow that we had requested to Treasury. And this cash flow had in mind the fact that we would have, within the first quarter, we'd have appointed those officials that we are hoping to add to the establishment of the staff. And the department, the trends are such that in almost all the months, the department has been, the expenditure has been lower than the cash drawings. Only in November, the expenditure relating to November, whereby the department has expenditure exceeded the cash flow that we got from Treasury at that month. But then maybe what then made the difference to be paid is because, as you can see, the past month we had those savings that we are not spending. So the additional spending that appeared, it also included the funds that come from the underspending from the previous month. And going forward, we always see that we'll, as a department, will actually remain within the budget that she was allocated with that underspending that we projected. The next slide is just the narrative of what I've just discussed. So I think that will be it for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Secretary. I presume that is the presentation. Thank you. Members, we will then immediately go to questions, concerns, and other issues that we want to raise. Maybe a first few questions from my side. Maybe just in terms of the same question we've asked last week to Sira, and we're also going to ask it to IPET today and next week to the police. In terms of your declarations of interests of your top management, whether it's in place, and if you can provide that to us as a committee, those declarations. Then I just want to get a sense. Now, in terms of the Civilian Secretariat Act, 661A says, the Civilian Secretariat must, in order to achieve its objects, monitor the performance of the police service and regularly assess the extent to which the police service has adequate policies and effective systems and to recommend corrective measures. Now, that's a must. So I want to get an indication from you, sir, what corrective measures have you, you know, made available to the police service in the last 12 months with regard to that main function that you have. And maybe furthermore, if the Civilian Secretariat, in terms of that mandate, can develop a new template for the South African Police Service top management where the declaration of intent will include also sponsorships and all other income-related issues that is relevant. We need that assurance, and there must be a timeline of at least a month that that can be implemented. So we need assurances in our cluster that all top management, and it's all managers, do the necessary declarations of interest, and that declaration of interest must include everything, whether it's assistance, sponsorships, gratuities, and kind. We want that, and we also want the physical forms lodged with this commission. We need that. I just want to stress the importance of that factor. Let's go to Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your presentation. I heard that the post of the Secretary of Police has been filled. When was it filled? And I want to congratulate you on your appointment, Mr. Rapier. My second question, advertisement of post. You are telling us here about the shortlisting interviews will take place before or month end of February. Can you please be specific about the date? Because before and month end does not say anything. My second question, I don't know the slide. You said the CSP is in the process of developing the turnaround strategy. How far is it going to take place? Is it 6 months or a year? Because you are saying you are in a process, we don't know, is it going to take a year or 6 months? Can you please tell us? In slide 19, you said 9 findings are outstanding. What are the reasons for not being implemented, and when are you planning to implement them? You are talking about the additional of 36 posts. Are these posts funded or what? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Mwunda. Are you fine? Honourable Grunewald, thank you.
Sorry, thank you, Chair. Chair, now I want to come back to what was said about the amendment, the Firearms Control Amendment Bill. If I heard it correctly, it was said that after the summit we had and everything taken into consideration that we almost have a new bill. That was the words. Now, Jefferson, I want to know what assurance do we have that if the bill is then finalized, the amendment bill, that there will be an opportunity for the public according to the normal process, to give new inputs as far and comment on the new amendments made in the bill. Thank you.
Honourable Member, Honourable Markey.
Thank you, Chairperson. On slide 17, the funding model for community police forums, the policy thereof, will it be part of the white paper on police, or are we talking about something totally new in terms of the CPF? My second question would be on the funding model for additional mandates, such as that of the DPCI judge and other projects. Surely Treasury always refers you to the cluster. Is there a possibility of getting funding from the cluster? Practically so, because I don't see any department within the cluster saying, little brother, I can give you this. Is it a practical alternative? Because if it is not, then what needs to be done? Because if the Treasury simply says, go to your cluster, it means we are going to be running in circles, at least if there's a possibility. And if it's not, then what needs to be done? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Markey. Honourable Tlungu.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine is only two. One is on slide 14. Yeah, on slide 14, bullet 13, we are talking on research on demilitarization, and you target, you come up with the added unit of the TRT there. On top of POPs. I want to get an understanding, Chairperson. You recall, Chairperson, that in our oversight visit to Eastern Cape, I want to get an understanding. How is this going to affect the project that we have of an integrated combative method against particularly hardened criminals that we observed in the Nelson Mandela, which we actually then showed thumbs up, noting that TRT is not necessarily that much close to civilians. It's a reactive kind of a unit that will actually, as far as I understand, that will be called on the need basis to avail their services. Unlike particularly POPs will be generally be at disposal of reinforcing uniform police in most of the time. But TRT as a specialized combative unit, how did you come to that particular conclusion? And is it not going to affect that particular project? And if not, then how are we then going to reconcile this? I'm saying that, Chairperson, because it will have far-fetched implications in as far as that particular project that we actually went to as members and so, and we actually then endorsed on the basis of the good work and output that we observed there. So then that is exactly what I'm trying to get out of a civilian secretariat. What informs this particular thing, this particular selection of TRT? To say it must be part and parcel of the demilitarized units within the police. Then number two is a question that Honorable Market touched on just a bit on slide 17. The question of the question of funding for CPFs. In our last meeting, when we were briefed on the constitutionality and the white paper on civilian secretariat, you recall, Chairperson, that I raised quite sharply the disjuncture that was noted there in terms of a provincial appointment of civilian secretariat at a provincial level, whereby then it became clear that national secretariat seems, or according to the Constitutional Act, doesn't have that much of a footing. Now, if and only if we talk of CPFs, who actually then established CPF? Theoretically, yes, I understand that it is just generally a civilian secretariat, but at what level? And now, I think in that particular meeting also, Chairperson, it was also clarified that in terms of funding at a provincial level, it becomes a jurisdiction of each and every province, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's where then was a kind of a disjuncture that I actually observed. Now then, when you come up with this particular thing here, what informs it in line with what, then that's why then I was actually saying that I think Honorable Maki touched on a bit on this, because the white paper is actually then streamlined in line with the Act itself. Now then, how are you going to actually then go about to actually then bypass the provincial structures in order to actually then unfold this particular kind of funding model that you are proposing? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Shlongu. Honourable Mbele.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got a handful of questions, if I can just run through all of them. I mean, just the first observation is that the feedback from the Secretary about the vacancy rate of 24% that has emerged over the past couple of months, it sounded like, is concerning. That's way above the Treasury stipulated threshold of what would be acceptable. I hear that there are plans in place to address that in the next short while. In terms of advertising posts, there's overtime funding allocated to expedite the processes, so hopefully that addresses it. But I still think it's just reflective of a general problem with a sense of complacency and malaise that plagues much of the public sector, which is that we just don't have that urgency and that hustle to address things, issues as and when they come up. We've really got to be more on the ball so that we prevent things becoming a crisis that then becomes more and more difficult to turn around as time passes. But we'll, the committee will monitor that as we go forward. My first question, Chair, relates to the feedback, the status updates on Committee Recommendation 7. That we got in the presentation that was on slide 11, in which it explained in terms of addressing the expenditure management framework, the feedback is that they haven't been able to activate LOGAS due to staff shortages, which blocks the department's ability to segregate duties on the system. The question that comes up for me on that one is, the Civilian Secretariat has been a designated department since 2014. So one would have assumed that the requirements in order to implement and interface with all these government systems, LOGAS, BAS, there's any number of acronyms floating around, would have been planned for from the beginning, so that as you roll out operationally, you just plug in and play, essentially. So why was this requirement not planned for in terms of making sure that we have, that the post-establishment is set up such that you are able to interface with LOGAS to implement it the way it's supposed to be. And even that aside, why are they still taking so long? It's now 2017. We've been on this particular track as the department since 2014. And this is, goes back to my earlier issue. It's 3 years down the line. We haven't got the simple basic requirements of interacting with a very well-established government database and system. Why is this malaise still just happening as it should be, which is blocking fundamental delivery and implementation, because you can't now use the system. My second question is the next, the response to the next committee recommendation, recommendation 8, where the feedback is that the Secretariat has now introduced quarterly procurement plans. And the question for me there again is, I mean, surely that's part of basic operational management. You know, you've got cycles of monitoring and review at different levels around performance targets, spending, all that sort of thing. And a quarterly time cycle, at the very least, is the minimum requirement, if not monthly, and if not, where needed, weekly. So why is it only now becoming quarterly, and what was in place before? You know, would I be correct then in assuming that it sounds like the department would only become aware of issues that were building up in the department annually, which is when they then report to the committee, because that would not be up to standard. So what was in place before the quarterly procurement plans were put in place as the remedy to the recommendation from the committee? My third question, Chair, is it's outside of the specifics of the presentation, but still very relevant. It's come up before in the committee. Is what is happening in terms of strengthening and rolling out a complaints mechanism by the Secretariat, because and in particular a mechanism with high visibility and high public profile, because that, I believe, is the function that is most relevant to members of the public. They have the iPad to go to in terms of the Section 28 premises in the iPad Act, those violations, but in terms of service delivery complaints, because most of the public do not trust the police to address their own issues. We just had the Stats SA Victims of Crime survey come out yesterday, showing that levels of public trust and confidence in the police to address those issues are very low, declining and continuing to decline. So the public need an independent and separate mechanism to go to make their service delivery complaints about the SAPs, and that falls within the Secretariat. So what's happening in terms of strengthening and rolling out that function? And I have a concern there, Chair, because if you look at this issue of the vacancy rates, and from what I could glean of the budget spending reports, it looks like the program that is worst affected by these vacancies and by the underspending is the administration program, which has the largest underspending. What's that? That's about 12 million, I think I read. And it's the administration program, I assume, correct me if I'm wrong, that would house that function of the complaints mechanism, receiving the complaints, processing them in the database, allocating them where they need to go and to be investigated. So the function of the Secretariat that is most relevant to the public is the one that is most understaffed, under-resourced, and therefore the greatest disservice is being done to the public at this point. So I'd like an update, please, on what's being done in that regard. Second last one, Chair, is from Committee Recommendation 14. It sounded like from the Secretary's response that there might have been a misunderstanding of what this committee recommendation was about. As I recall and as I understand, that was the committee saying that the Secretariat needs to review and improve its internal budget analysis and performance monitoring so that it can set a good example for the SAPs in conducting that oversight on them. So this issue of how they're addressing the capacity of the civilian oversight monitoring and evaluation units is not relevant, is not the point that was being made by the recommendation. The recommendation was look at your own issues in-house so you can first address your issues and therefore have the standing, if you will, to then do the same for the SAPs. And addressing that capacity issue is a program one, an administration program issue, which again, as I said, seems to be the one that the hardest hit by the understaffing and the underspending so far. So the same issues keep coming up, that we're not covering the basics of operational organizational management in order to just carry out the core mandate. So if I can just get a response on what's being done to address the admin capacity to do in-house budget performance analysis and monitoring. And then finally, Chair, on the issue of CPF funding, I don't believe there should be any ambiguity on this issue, and Honourable Mhlongo already touched on this in broad brushstrokes. It's quite clear that the operational footprints of the secretariat lies in the provincial secretariats. They're the ones who do much of the groundwork of doing oversight visits, receiving monitoring reports from the SAPs and feeding that through to the national office. And so it would make sense that the funding issues and interaction with CPFs should also happen through that avenue. And in fact, as has been mentioned before in past meetings, the Western Cape already leads the way in terms of providing funding and training and support to CPFs. So it's clear what is structurally meant to be the case. We already have the model and the example in the Western Cape as to how you support and you channel funding in that regard. So I don't think there's ambiguity there, Chair. It's simply a matter of refining and fleshing out whatever might be needed to upscale that at a national level. And the concern I have here, Chair, is I started looking at there was the policy on the community safety forums that was sent out to the members last week or earlier on this week. And I haven't finished it, but I started going through it. And from what I can tell, it's a bit of a wishy-washy concept. And I'm worried that because CPFs form part of that, what's going to happen is that the funding obligation is going to be fobbed off to the CSFs, which are this amalgamation of every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the public sector, and things are going to fall through cracks because nobody will take responsibility for specific functions and for specific responsibilities, as we see in the border security environments where nobody wants to buy vehicles, truck scanners, because no SARS must do it, no Home Affairs must do it, no SAPS must do it. No, we've got the blueprints, we've got the example and the model. Let's just charge forward with that and replicate across the landscape as opposed to trying to reinvent the wheel. So just a response as to whether the Secretary and his department do not think that there is no cause for ambiguity here. We know what needs to be done, and we must go forward in that way. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Bailey. Honourable Ramtukani.
Oh, thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks to the Secretary for the presentation. I've got just a few questions, but before I get to those questions, I think from where I'm sitting, the community policy forums, in a broad sense, has a role to play in the fight against crime. It's actually not as prescribed Dr. You can have. It's actually an important structure that brings all, if you like, actors that has to do with crime in a locality. So it is very important because it's an integrated way of dealing with crime and solving problems rather than only depending on the reaction program of CPF. CPF is the only one structure that is linked to the police. So the integrated approach we support from our side. I mean, they see the community policing forum, in my view, they have been very slow, uneven, sometimes not even driven for them to be able to realize, to implement. If you're talking about an integrated mechanism of solving problems as integrated, that's the structure that you'll call upon to. And each role player has a role to play in that. If you're talking about the Department of Social Development, they have a role. Every department has a defined role in the community policing forum, but it's CPF, the other forum of communities. I think this issue about the CPFs and the funding of CPFs and the recognition of the CPF, I'm equally concerned about in terms of funding for it. And I mean, there is various provinces fund it differently, but there isn't any aggressive policy directives in terms of that funding. It takes time for it to happen. I mean, the Western Cape will do their own implementation. But by and large, it will be more of a fusion of not necessarily a CPF, but the neighborhood watch who are infused as if they are CPF when they are not quite CPF, they are neighborhood watch, which is a project that is linked to the CPF. CPF is supposed to be the main. So if that is CPF is in the main and it's recognized by the Police Act, the civilian secretariat must really help that this issue is addressed. At the moment, even MEC likes it, secretariat will support because it's part of the department. Others, if they don't, they will say there's no money for it. So directives in terms of policy becomes critical going forward on that. I'm worried about the red flags that were put on the board earlier on, Secretary, on the things that no movement has began in terms of the implementation. And I see the explanation. But the explanation is not dealing with the problem. We're now close to the financial year ending. And if we're not going to be able to do what we needed to do to clear the problem, we're heading for another qualification as a result of it. And I hear the issue about vacancies and the problem that we're having. But as a manager that is now confirmed in the position, you should be saying, this is the plan I'm putting together to solve the problem, because now you're empowered to do so. And we will support that plan. But we would not support only if you are raising problem, not saying, because of this, this is what I'm doing to solve it. This issue about the finance unit and its capacity for it to be able to deliver results, if you don't beef it up, that's going to be your killer seal, because you're going to be tripped by it every time you want to do something, because you need people who works on that. And I still believe that I'm convinced that there can be some secondment that can take place. I'm convinced that if you talk to other departments to help beef that capacity, to help the CFO to do what they have to do in terms of clearing this, it takes me to the outstanding loan. this outstanding loan that Secretary, it's a moving target. We discussed it the last time. Perhaps I heard you saying all what you said about it. It is another matter that would create problem for your auditing process. So it's either going to be classified as irregular expenditure, and in that you would get the punishment in the auditor general. So there's no money that can be found to exchange, or somebody is, or some condonement. Something must just be done about it. But that's if both you and IPED can come to some degree of understanding, and there's a condonement, and there's some way that you can deal with that 6 million in the PMFA, because you need to follow the PMFA in order to deal with that. So the last one is the issue about the demilitarization that you spoke about. You mentioned that you are only going to focus now towards fall later. But it would be useful to understand your perspective, even by way of presenting for us as a committee, to understand the one that you've concluded. What do you say about it? There's a lot of school of thought around this particular subject, so that we can also engage with it when there's the next interval, when we have time. So I would be keen to hear what you present on that particular matter. The vetting, last one is the vetting. Secretary, you use the word preliminary vetting. That's done quickly, and then something else follow. We at some point had a discussion with somebody from state security who told us that the vetting takes much shorter. I can't remember what he said, it takes 3 weeks. But he came to say we should not worry about the vetting. It takes shorter. 3 weeks, they are able to finalize it. But if you say it's preliminary vetting, it's not quite vetting. It's not vetting. It's basically just checking records. But vetting is subject, or it concludes whether you get employed or not. If your job that you're going to be working is a sensitive area. So if it's preliminary, what then happens from preliminary to finality? How long does that process take? That which you call preliminary forms and so on. Those that fall within this category, are they now completely vetted, or are they still working with the status of preliminary being vetted, which does not take you to secret or top secret, it's preliminary. And I don't know exactly what does it mean, this preliminary vetting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, members, for those questions. Let's get the responses. Let's keep it concise to the point. We're running a bit out of time. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. The first question that I want to deal with is from the Chairperson on the declaration of interest. Is it in place? Yes, our declaration of interest, we have declared, all the senior managers have done it within the time frame, 100% declaration, and we even got a report from the Public Service Commission, which say, because we do it electronically now, so it's much easier. We got a report from the Public Service Commission where they highlighted certain things to the minister and say, we have identified that the following people have got certain business interest. Minister, explain in terms of doing remunerative work outside the business, those approved and so on. So we can provide the report for the declaration of
interest in terms of the details, or even if we get an independent report which comes from the Public Service Commission, it will even be better. I don't know whether we should request that and then they submit it to you. I think it will be much better if it comes from them, including the details. Because some of the declarations, some of the people, they wouldn't want them to get into our hands. But if it's coming from the Public Service Commission directly to you, then I think the issues of confidentiality will be preserved. The issue of the monitoring of the performance of subs, we have done a number of, because usually the performance we'll measure it, like we'll go and we say the police station performance, there's a report that will deal with those, and there will be recommendation to say these are the interventions that the police need to take, and we will have a letter that comes from the minister which says, please also submit me an implementation plan for the recommendation that comes from those reports. We can actually come out with a report that gives you everything that we have done, the same as what we do with the DVA, which we submit regularly. It goes into the details, what are our findings, and we also do the recommendation, and in most cases we'll work with them to improve those. So we can make, I don't know whether it's a written submission that you would want, or should we have a
presentation? Just a written submission of all the issues you've dealt with in terms of Section 6, because it raises, I mean, it's the issue of oversight, and I mean, it's also about the implementation of the security plan, but also the issues that's in the public domain about SAPs. Our view is the committees, we must ensure that SAPs, they must act in terms of the law, the top management must act in terms of the national prescripts. They've gone shortcuts, there's no exceptions. So, you know, that is the approach we're going to take. So we'll okay. await that. Listen.
We will present, submit that report in writing. The next question is, when was the position filled for the secretary? Cabinet approved the appointment on the 7th of December. But then there is a process, because the Department of Public Service and Administration, for all heads of national departments, they are the ones that will inform. So once the minister got the letter from the Minister for Public Service and Administration, he effected the appointment from 21st of December. So it's from 21st December, and it's for a five-year term. The filling in of posts, we have a detailed report that we can share with the committee. We can send it in detail. It has got the post, when was the closing date for the advertisement, what is the status, which will tell you if we finalize the capturing, what is the status with the shortlisting, and when is the interviewing date. So that report is there, which is detailed. If you want us to send it through for each one of the positions, that detail is available. So we can also email the detailed report. All the posts are funded. The turnaround strategy that we are busy with, it's linked with the strategic plan. So we will have the turnaround strategy finished end of March. But we are not saying we wait for that, because some of the things, as I indicated, we have done the assessment in terms of our capacity, and we have identified certain weaknesses that we need to implement. So end of the March, we will have the turnaround strategy in place, which is comprehensive, and it's something that we can present in the first quarter. On the issue of the Firearms Control Act, the amendment bill, it's, as I indicated, I don't want to give assurance because we have already been to Cabinet and we asked Cabinet to go for public comments. We came back from public comments, now we must go back to Cabinet with the public comments. But it went further because there was a workshop that was held with the portfolio committee, and there was a research that was done which says this is going to be a change process. So it's up to Cabinet to tell us, okay, do they still want us to go back? I can't assure here, otherwise I will be preempting a Cabinet decision. From the portfolio committee, the honorable members can even make their recommendation to us to say this is the way to go before we go to the Cabinet. But there's two ways of dealing with it. Others feel in the task team that we need to go back to the public for their comment. Others feel that when you go to the public comment, when you publish, it means that you will get inputs that gives you a different story. And once you get that input, then go and process the bill to Parliament. But we will put those options and our recommended preferred option to Cabinet for them to make a decision.
Sorry, Jay. Do I understand that the preferred option is to send it back from the Secretariat? You said now your what is your preferred option?
My legal team and the other people in that team is divided. My preferred option is that we have consulted with the public, so we process it through to Parliament. That's my preferred option.
Thank you, Chair. I would request that preferred option be reconsidered. This is a very important amendment bill. And in the end, I foresee already that in the end we're going to end up in the courts. And I would ask the Secretariat to reconsider to make sure that the public have ample time to give their inputs, or else if we go to court, maybe Secretariat can pay us from their budget.
Noted. We have noted that input. The CPF policy, and I will deal with all the questions that have been raised regarding the CPF policy. It's not part of the it's a policy that we're developing outside, but informed by the white paper on policing. So we are looking into it, informed by the white paper on policing, but it will be a standalone dealing with. The issue of the CPFs, which will also include the issue of the funding model. It is actually to come out with a common approach to fund the CPFs. And we will find something which is the best practice that we can use, be it Limpopo, because Limpopo has got a model that they have, the Western Cape has got a model that they have, when we are looking into all those things so that there is uniformity in the country. And we are taking into consideration, that's why there is the consultation. The SEPs in our consultation indicated that you need to consult three more other provinces, because we thought now we're done, we can deal with the police. But that consultation is going to happen further. And once there is that consensus, because we are working with the provincial secretariat, we will find common ground, and whatever the policy is going to be approved, it will be informed by the inputs from the provinces, and without taking the constitutional mandate of the provinces. There's also the issue about the CSF policy. We would welcome the inputs in terms of the wishy-washiness of the policy, so that we address it. But as Honourable Ramatakane indicated, when it comes to the CSF, it's about an integrated, inclusive approach to deal with crime, and it must include all the role players in all the government departments must be involved wherever they are in their locality. On the issue of the vacancy rate, the issues that have been raised by Honorable Mbele, the 24% vacancy, it's a real concern to us. And the reason why I even upfront approved that there should be overtime and we should have this action plan with specific dates is to make sure that we come back. And one of our targets for next year, we've been included in our APP, the target to reduce the vacancy to the 10% minimum that is required from the Department of Public Service and Administration. So we are doing everything to make sure that we strengthen the department. The issue of the implementation of some of the basics, we come, and when I came also, I assumed that these things are there, it's obvious. It's only when you start getting reports that you realize, no, the basics that you expect every department to have, it's not there. And I even made instruction to say, no, this position, you create this position and make sure that the posts are done. But the process of approving posts, it takes a while. At some point, I even said to my team, go ahead and even advertise these posts before even minister approve. I will get the job, it's fine. But you do that and the Auditor General comes and give you a different thing. So I was advised to say we can't go that route because you will be doing exigency things, but at the end of the day, you will get a finding. So we had to wait for that process for approval so that we put this in place. But now that the process is in, we are accelerating it so that we finalize that. The implementation of the complaints mechanisms, there was a request that came from the portfolio committee to submit that report. Maybe we can come and, because I don't have the details of it from the council.
I think on that issue, I think the experiences this last few months, again, that is a pertinent issue. I mean, we get a lot of complaints, service delivery complaints, as members as well, in our constituencies. And I think there was the joint meeting a year or so ago in terms of the implementation, but I think we will have to have a follow-up. So we will create the opportunity, again, for SAPS, IPED, as well as yourselves to come and address that issue. You can go to the other responses. Thank you.
On the issue of the budget review, if you look in terms of the positions that we are filling, it's actually to strengthen finance. But at the same time, we have realized that with the our civilian oversight, monitoring and evaluation, we also don't have that capacity. So the people who are supposed to even do the assessment for the budget of SAPS, we don't have that capacity in there. So we're strengthening our finance to deal with the issue of making sure that we lead by example. But at the same time, we want to strengthen that capacity so that when you go and you say you are doing the assessment of the SAPS budget and its monitoring, you do it with competent people. That's why we made that link. We will quite understand what the honorable members have requested us to do. I think on the issue that was, the question that was asked by Honorable Ramatlakane, it's on the support. We welcome that comment regarding the support for an integrated approach, and that's the approach that we are working on in dealing with the CSFs. The red flags, I would ask the Director Internal Audit maybe just to deal with that issue in terms of which areas are those that have got the red flags. I'll give you a time. Let me just finish all the other issues. And on the issue of the secondment, we from the recommendation of the committee, we actually previously approached National Treasury, the Accountant General, and we didn't get joy from there. But we will do another attempt, as you are recommending, to see if you can get secondments. Actually, you are raising it because it's the second time it's being raised from here. I have now even think of not only look internal in government, we can have others of our partners that we work with. Maybe they might have people that they can second. I know Justice had similar problems in the past, and the Business Against Crime managed to send somebody there to work with them to do the turnaround. So we will extend the net, not only look into the public service. The issue of the legal fees for the IPED case, we haven't given up until the last minute to make sure that the funding is available. But Treasury was clear that if we pay for it and it's not, we are paying on behalf of another department, it might be treated as unauthorized expenditure, not even irregular expenditure. So that's the position. That's why we can't just give up. We'll see how we manage to get the funding. And that engagement is still going on. the research, I think on the issue of the demilitarization, I think it should be part of the package that we have sent. We can come and present what the research is all about. But basically, it says you cannot have any policing that doesn't have some militarization in it, especially issues of your TRT. You need to. But we have that detailed report that we can present. On the issue of vetting, I just want to give you an example of. But I know sometimes when you talk to departments, they will say it's easy in terms of vetting. I was in the public service. I completed all the forms. That was in 2000. And the only time that I got vetted was 2004. And the reason was I was acting as DG of the Department of Public Service. It took 3 years to get through that. And I had for now threatened to say, I won't even touch anything from cabinet and so on because you're not finishing this. I came back. I was the advisor to ministers of public service and administration for a few years. I did everything. It was completed in 2010. That vetting, I only got it as I was exiting the Department of Public Service and Administration. So I don't know. My example and experience in terms of that vetting process, especially for top secret, it has taken long. And the experience that I have talking to other heads of departments, they are complaining about the same thing. It could be quicker maybe for confidential, but secret and top secret, it takes longer because they have to go and look for your friend in the primary school in your village.
Secretary, we know the process. Let's go to the response because we've got limited time.
Yeah, we'll just ask the director of the tour.
Thank you, Director.
Honourable members and my colleagues, I think with regard to findings that are not 100% addressed and the ones that are still addressed, I'll just talk in general. There are 9 which have not been implemented as at the date of reporting. Some of them, for example, is finding number 3, which talks about indicators not well defined. I think you realize that the Auditor General presented the final report by 31st of July. So at the time when the report is finding, the APP for financial year 16 and 17 was already published and being implemented. So in other words, these are the findings that whether we like it or not, we are unable to correct them because they have already been published and approved. So some of the findings that we have which are currently being implemented as well, which not 100% implemented, includes the findings around IT. The department recently appointed the head of IT with the chief information officer. They are developing the IT strategy, the policies, everything to do with IT. And we had a meeting last week, this week on Monday. They presented the work that they have done thus far, and I think they are doing a very wonderful job. So most of the findings where we say 50% addressed, they will be addressed by 31st of March. But the others that are not addressable, we cannot address them whether we like it or not, like the one that I've just mentioned. So we also have a finding, for example, finding number 24, which talks about a payroll certificate signed after payment was made. So this finding, what AG does, they are just checking compliance with PFMA. But these findings are not easy to implement. I'm talking about management now, because I did an audit just recently. The PFMA will say the payment certificate must be approved by the business unit head before the payment date. But the department only received the payment reports a day before from CETA. So it doesn't give my department enough time, because most of the time you'll find that most of the heads of the business units are away from the office. So by the time that they arrive, the date that they're supposed to have implemented or approved is already gone. So this finding, we also had a meeting with the AG and asked them, how are other departments doing? Because this is one of the findings which is not easy to implement from a management point of view. But what I also like to say to the committee, over and above what I've just presented, is that this is what management are saying, not what has been audited. We are conducting an audit and we plan to issue the report by the 20th of February, and we'll have a meeting with management, especially the findings that have negative influence on the audit opinion, the first 10 findings on the report. We are doing a full audit on that. on the ones from number 11 up to number 43, we're just looking at the adequacy of the action plans and the effectiveness thereof. So we'll have a meeting with the management, with the top management, and present the audit outcome. And I think the AG, on the basis of that, will be able to say, yes, this is what you've been saying over the past 2-3 months, but this is what the internal audit is saying. And on the basis of that, I think the HOD is going to put action in place to make sure that those findings that have been, that they are still not addressed, they are being addressed. But I also, I'm also pleased to, just to add on what the Secretary said earlier on, in the past, management will just say they are doing or done. And at the end, you find that it has not been done. So there is a consequential management that has just been introduced. He asked me to prepare for him a submission where each member, the head of the unit, formally commit himself that all these action plans that they put, they will be held responsible and accountable if they are found not to have implemented. And I think that is what has been done as well.
Thank you. Members, unfortunately, our time is up, but we will make an arrangement. The Secretariat is coming back on the 1st of March in terms of dealing with the white paper, but I think let's include the issue of the demilitarization study piece as well as part of the presentation. We also need all outstanding issues and the issues raised by the members, especially in terms of the template recommendations that hasn't been completed. So if we can have in writing from the CFO as well as from Head of Internal Audit, all the financial issues, those issues that you can't deal with now, the reasons for that, that we have it in writing on record, and then on the 1st of March, we will also deal with that and further questions from the members. Members, we're going to take a 10-minute tea break, and then we come back for iPad. Thank you very much.
He didn't even say 7 minutes to 10 minutes.